Welcome to the latest episode of Schnepps Connects. Today, I am thrilled to be speaking with Sabrina Lippman, who is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, New York City and Westchester County. With over 15 years of experience in real estate and fundraising, Sabrina has built strategic partnerships that strengthen communities and drive real impact. As CEO, Sabrina leads Habitat for Humanity's mission to build and preserve affordable homes, helping working class families in New York City and Westchester achieve housing stability through permanent home ownership. Sabrina's impressive career speaks to her deep-rooted commitment to public service and community development. She has managed a 64 million square foot real estate portfolio and has secured major redevelopment projects amongst various other achievements. So today we're going to talk about Sabrina's vision for the future of affordable housing, major issue in New York City, and the impact being made at Habitat for Humanity. So Sabrina, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Josh. Excited to be here.
I feel like a lot of people know Habitat for Humanity as a great brand recognition. And, you know, would love for you maybe just to share what the key pillars are that define the work for Habitat NYC and Westchester in terms of specifically addressing affordable housing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're totally right. We are so blessed to be able to have the luxury of this incredible brand, right? It is a brand comparable to that of Starbucks. But one of the downsides of that is people think about Habitat and it's Jimmy Carter swinging a hammer, and we are absolutely that, right? That is the heart of where we came from. But we're so much more than that. And especially in New York City, we need to bring sophisticated and innovative solutions. We are not just popping up four walls, right? We are really thinking about how do we move the needle on this crisis that we're in. So the way we approach it, those pillars that we bring to this crisis are three-pronged, right? We are an affordable housing developer. So that means that we are building both single, but primarily multifamily homes right here in the five boroughs and up in Westchester. And that is to secure permanently affordable homeownership. We sell these homes to very hardworking class families. The second prong is preserving, because we are losing homeownership at a really scary rate. And again, these pockets of permanent affordability are critical for keeping this culture that we love in New York. And so we go in and we offer technical assistance. We have low-cost financing through our CDFI, our financial institution. And we also provide construction preservation services to keep families in their homes. And then that third, you know, leg of the stool, if you will, of our three-legged stool is how we engage our communities in this work. And that's really where the brand is so powerful. We are out there advocating for just housing policy changes. We engage volunteers in the thousands to come out and help us build these homes. And then we have our retail arm, which is Restore, where you can donate your furniture or other housing items, and we sell them at 80% discounted rate, keeping it out of landfills and into a lot of families' homes. So that's the way we do this work.
You know, it's so great to hear you share that, because, you know, I personally didn't think of Habitat in that way. And it's really great that you're doing all those things.
Great. But I love to talk about. So,
yeah, I love it. You know, you always think about New York City and affordability, not so much Westchester. So I know that Habitat expanded in 2020 to, you know, cover Westchester County. And I'd love maybe for you to just share a little bit about what the need is and the unique challenges in Westchester and how it's different from New York City.
Absolutely. So as you know, Josh, I mean, New York City and Westchester are intrinsically linked, right? Whether it's by our communities, by our commuter rail lines. But unfortunately, we're also linked by this worsening housing crisis, right? It keeps pushing families further and further out to try and find a place to live. And like you mentioned, this is a new territory for us. So the first thing we did when we were able to expand up north was to do a listening tour, to really start to gather input from both housing professionals, but more importantly, the families across Westchester, to understand what are the housing challenges that are geographically specific to this area and how do we help best, right? And so what we've learned is that even though Westchester is one of the wealthiest counties in the US, it is not wealth that is equally shared, right, between municipalities or villages or families. So you have over 140,000 families that are cost burdened up there. You have a median home value of about 650,000, but the median household income is only about 89,000. So a family that's making 89,000, max home they can afford on the market is a $235,000 home. It doesn't exist, right? And question for you, just guess the number of Westchester municipalities where an hourly wage worker can afford a two-bedroom apartment. How many municipalities?
I wouldn't know, honestly.
Zero. It's because it doesn't exist. There is no hourly wage worker in Westchester County that can afford a two-bedroom apartment. And that is why we need to be up there, right? The need is so massive. So we're very excited to get up there and to be in these communities doing the work we do.
Well, I love that you're informing me and our listeners. That's really terrific. Talk about any specific projects that you could share that have been impactful in Westchester County.
So one of the things, and you kind of heard me talk about how important it is to build, but this preservation, again, is something I can't understate. And so as we start in Westchester, as we're learning about these communities, we're starting with that preservation piece, right? We are learning that we need to keep these homes affordable for the families that are there. So we have three projects or three programs, if you will, that we are doing very actively. The first one is our aging in place program. So what we do is we provide home assessments, we do home repair and modifications that allow seniors to stay in their homes with dignity, right? I have an aging mom, aging parents. It's a little bit harder to get into that shower. You might be in a wheelchair. You need some ramps. If they are on limited income, right, it is very hard to be able to keep these families in these homes safely. And so that is what we're working on. We are helping these seniors be able to stay in their homes for a little bit longer. And so we provide that. Second to that is what's called our Plus One ADU program, which is a really exciting program. ADU stands for an accessory dwelling unit. So we already know a lot of homes are doing this. They're building out their basements as a studio apartment to rent out or modifying their garage or their attic. We want to support that, right? Because what it does, it keeps the integrity of the neighborhood the same, right? You're not building a skyscraper next to a single family home, but you can really increase the housing supply. You can also help that homeowner add an income, right? You start to rent that unit, you can add an income that can help with that mortgage and those taxes that keep going up. And so what we're doing is we want to make sure that people are doing it in a safe way and in a legal way. And so we are stepping in and we're helping construct these homes, these accessory dwelling units, and helping convert them. And then the last thing that, you know, we have long history in doing is our flood relief work. And so some of these counties up in Westchester, Rockland counties, they suffered from flood damage, whether it was Ida, but even just what's happening in climate change, these floods are becoming a lot more prevalent. And so we're stepping in, we're providing grants up to about $50,000 in partnership with our government partners to help do these emergency repairs and keep these families in their homes.
You know, I feel like most people that watch HGTV, they see these people getting their homes renovated and built and fixed. And everyone's probably screaming at the television, how do I get that?
That's exactly right.
I mean, one of the things I'd love for you to share is how are you choosing the homeowners that you're able to support?
It's a fantastic question. So it's all about partnership. So what we're doing is we're partnering with nonprofits in these areas that have been working with families for decades, right? And so we do have a process by which you can apply, and it's not a laborious process. It's a quick infill process. You can check it out on our website if you're interested in one of these programs and you reach out. I have an incredible team that talks to families, that works with our nonprofit partners up in Westchester to be able to see who can qualify for these homes. Our goal is always focusing on those low to moderate income families. So these are working class families, right? They have a job. They don't make enough to qualify for any government assistance, but then they make too much to be able to repair that home on their own, right? And so that's where we really step in, is in that missing middle.
That's nice to hear, because locally, you know, these organizations know their communities better than anyone.
That's right.
Nice to hear that.
That's exactly right.
We talked about Habitat having such a strong brand. It's 40 years. 2024 is 40 years, which is, you know, really a significant milestone. What would you say are some of the biggest achievements over those four decades?
It's hard. It's hard to pin down specific ones. And we are celebrating our 40th year in New York City and Westchester County specifically. And we started in New York City about 40 years ago. And I think one milestone that started right at the beginning in 1984 that I think is a little known fact. Our most famous volunteer, Josh, as you know, is former President Jimmy Carter. Not many people know his first Carter Work Project was in New York City. It was in the Lower East Side in Mascot Flats. It's a building that's still affordable today, still has the families that were in there 40 years ago, still live there today. So it speaks to, Ken, that longevity that we are here to change and transform generationally. But as you fast forward, I think some of the milestones that stand out to me of the work we've done, I mean, we stepped in so intensely after Sandy, right? Yeah. And we came in and did tons of work after Sandy. For the COVID-19 crisis, we have our trucks that usually deliver furniture to our restores and pick up donations. We pivoted and we started feeding families. We partnered with food banks and started delivering meals during that time. Incredibly proud of the work that the organization did then. Another little known fact and big milestone for us is the largest single structure habitat project in the world is in the Bronx. We built it in 2021 called Sydney House, 57 units of affordable home ownership. Really proud of that project. And then I think the other one I'd point out is our CDFI. This is our Community Development Financial Institution. We are federally certified and we are a lender now. So not only are we building, we're helping lend loans, low interest financing to buildings that are in need to in order to keep them preserved. So lots of milestones. It's hard to pin anyone down.
Love it, and love to hear about these continued kind of lines of, you know, support that you're offering.
Absolutely. You got to have multi-prongs to address kind of the challenges we're facing.
So you can't have your 40th anniversary without a big bash. And I know you guys have 40 years of foundations for the future. You're calling your 40th anniversary gala coming up on October 22nd. So tell me what people can expect out of that.
Yeah, we are so excited, Josh. I'm expecting to see you there. It's going to be at Gotham Hall, beautiful venue right in Midtown. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. This is a time for celebration. This is hard work. So it's important to remember to also play hard, right? And as much as we still, you know, have a daunting task ahead of us, it's important to celebrate the thousands of families we've been able to serve in the time we've been here. And so folks can expect a big old party. Housers love to party. So we are going to be honoring these 40 years. We have folks like Angela Yee, who is going to be our MC for that evening. She's an incredible celebrity personality. We are also going to have DJ Mary Mack, who is Madonna's DJ, spinning the turntables. But more importantly, I think, is coming together. We have an incredibly aggressive fundraising goal of $1 million for this event.
Great.
And that's the need we have to be able to scale and get ready for what's to come. Because the way we move the needle is by mobilizing New Yorkers and really scaling our impact.
You know, one of the things I was going to ask you, you know, leading into this is really, you know, where do you get most of your funds from? Because that's critical, especially now. It's very hard for nonprofits to raise money. It's competitive, you know, it's very much based on the economy.
Absolutely. It is so difficult. And I will tell you, the majority of our funding comes from New Yorkers. It comes from local New Yorkers. We work very closely with the city of New York as it relates to being able to acquire properties to build on, right? We work very closely with the state, of course, because they help us give a per unit subsidy to help build these homes, because you can imagine how expensive it is to build what we do here in New York City. And so we depend heavily on our government partners. But the majority of our funding comes from everyday New Yorkers, comes from, you know, our monthly donors who are so critical. Those major gifts are ones that we really want to start to expand on. We are looking to really start to partner with the real estate industry in a much more deeper way, because it's a natural connection, right? New York City is a city of developers. So how are we partnering to make sure we're lifting all boats here?
So how can an individual or organization collaborate more with Habitat? I mean, I love doing things where you bring out, you know, all the employees to do support. We packed meals this past year, which was great.
Oh, that's amazing.
How can organizations or individuals get involved?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things I think that folks love about Habitat is that you are in the built environment, right? You are able, it's a hands-on, you can see, feel, touch, and build literally what we do here. And so teams can come out and volunteer. We have absolutely an opportunity to do a team build day, literally and figuratively, come out on one of our sites and swing a hammer on your own. We have, you can invest in us, right? So you can donate and allow us to expand our mark. And the other way that's almost just as important, if not more important, is help us advocate, right? Mm-hmm. We need all of it. We need everyone to be at the table, really helping us achieve this dream and this mission. And so advocating for housing policy that allows us to really ensure that we can secure these homeownership opportunities for working class New Yorkers is just as critical.
What currently is the biggest type of support that you guys need most from, you know, the community and companies and individuals?
I don't think this will surprise you. It's funding, Josh. It is funding. And I think this, it comes back to what's interesting is, again, folks see Habitat and they're like, wow, such a big brand. And, you know, Scott McKenzie gave you guys a ton of money. And the one thing that people don't realize is the way Habitat is structured is we're an affiliate network. So every Habitat is its own 501c3. It's its own nonprofit, standalone, separate from the international. Now, our friends at International are incredible, you know, partners and supporters, but it makes sense. Each of us has to be able to have the flexibility to build for our geography, right? We're not going to build a home in the middle of Alabama the way we do in the middle of the Bronx. And so it gives us the flexibility. But what folks don't know is we rely heavily on just local donations. We can only fundraise within our geographic service area. And so that, that is, right, because we don't want to fall into other folks' sure. territories or pull from there. And so donations are critical for us. Funding is critical for us. And the more New Yorkers support Habitat in New York, the much larger impact we can make.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we're learning this because I do feel that sometimes individuals want to give where they're going to see the impact. So knowing that you're doing your work here in the five boroughs of New York City and Westchester is really good for people to understand that, I guess, if they're giving you a dollar, that dollar is going in.
It's right here. It's for your neighbor. It's for, just to give you a sense, Josh, like 80% of our families are single moms. These are moms that are working two or three jobs. They're cleaning our parks. They're serving our coffee. They're taking care of our kids. They're doing all the right things, mm-hmm. right? But there is no place for them to go. And a lot of the families we serve are in public housing. They actually come out of public housing. It's not because they want to be there. It's not because they want to stay there. It's because there's no other option. And so when you think about the downstream effect of that, if they're staying, you know, if they're able to move out into one of our homes, that opens up a public housing spot for someone in the shelter system, right? Mm-hmm. Then that person in the shelter system moves out. Now you have someone on the street who can move into that space. You have to create that diversity of housing. It's critical to be able to solve this problem.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think also the economy has been resilient through COVID and after COVID when a lot of people thought it was going to be, you know, really a lot of problems. But the biggest impact, I think, has been, you know, the cost of living.
Absolutely.
And housing is a big part of that. So what do you envision in terms of, you know, sustainable growth and really increased impact on affordable housing through the work of Habitat NYC?
Yeah, there's only one way to do it. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It is through coalition and convening, because no one organization is going to be able to do it alone. And so one of the things that I'm excited to bring to this organization, because I'm, you know, 90 days into my CEO-ship here.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a boomerang. I was with Habitat 10 years ago. And one thing I learned is I need to understand how to navigate the bureaucracy of city and state government to be able to be effective here. And so I left for public service. And I worked over at the Economic Development Corporation, the economic development arm of the city, sure. and really understood and learned how do you build in New York, right? And prior to that, I was with Habitat leading our resource development team. And before that, on the private side, I was in commercial real estate with developers, right? Westfield, Cushman & Wakefield, Simon. And so I think what I'm most excited, what I'm bringing back from that experience from the public, private, and nonprofit sector, is it is all about coalition building and convening. We need all three sectors at the table. There is so much more that brings us together than separates us, right? And so we are never going to get anywhere if it's an us versus them. Tenant versus landlord. It's not a narrative that's going to help anyone, right? So we need to figure out what are some common threads that allow us to lift all boats, that we can all get together and say, you need this, I need this, that person needs this. Well, how do we get there united in order to get ourselves out of the situation?
Yeah, well said, Sabrina. I mean, I think public-private partnerships are, you know, great ways of making real change, because sometimes one or the other can't do it alone.
Exactly.
And nonprofits are a big part of that.
That's exactly right. And the reason for that is on the private side, like, you want the nonprofit. The nonprofit builds community, right? That's what we do in every neighborhood we build. We are connected to that community, and everyone knows. I mean, the data is so clear, right? When you have home ownership in these neighborhoods, they're safer, right? The education levels are higher. The economic mobility is higher. The taxes are better. So it only makes sense, right, for all of us to want to support one another.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, I think everybody understands New York City is made up of just a ton of neighborhoods.
Totally. But
there's a real big difference between driving through one and driving through another. And a large part of that starts with the housing, the type of housing that people have accessible to them and affordable. Is there anything, like, just ending off, that you think are important potential misconceptions that people have about housing affordability, or really what you think could be strong driving forces that you haven't yet addressed in terms of really taking on the challenge of affordable housing?
It's a fantastic question, Josh. And I think there are a few driving forces. I mean, one, I would say, I don't want to call it a misconception. There is a very basic supply and demand issue we have here. Sure. We need more supply, right? Yes. Without a doubt. But what I would say is there is such an emphasis on affordable rental, right? And that has been the area of focus for many years, right? And we're still in this crisis. So to me, I think what we haven't talked about is diversity of housing, right? You need diversity of housing. You can't just build one type of housing and think you're going to solve the problem, because people are different, right? People may want to own. They might, not everyone wants to own. Some people want to rent, and that's okay. But if you have people that are doing all the right things, they should have access to the opportunities that folks with wealth and have been able to, they should have access to build wealth and build equity, right? It's all about access to different forms of housing. And I think that, to me, is like the message I want to get through, is we need all of it, right? I'm not saying that rental is, but no, we need rental, but we also need homeownership. And that is critical, especially to talk about, like, you know, when you drive from neighborhood to neighborhood, you will likely see those neighborhoods that are a little tougher to drive by have the lowest homeownership rates. When you are a homeowner, you treat that property different. You invest in that community differently. And that, to me, building those pockets throughout the city is absolutely critical.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I think it's a great point, like, that people really have to think about home ownership for communities that can't afford to live in New York City, because, you know, ownership just builds the neighborhood.
1,000%.
It's just about their little apartment. You know, it's really about how they treat everything around them. So I think that's really, you know, a great point. And Sabrina, it's really, you know, fantastic to have you and really learn more about how Habitat's having such a positive impact on New York City and Westchester. So thank you so much.
Oh, Josh, thanks so much. This is a great conversation, and happy we were able to connect.
Likewise. If you want to hear more of our podcast, we'd love you to subscribe to our Schneps Connects podcast. You can listen to us at podcast.schnepsmedia.com or on all major podcast platforms.